which, to be honest with you, and I don't know how this will go, just this scripture come to my heart while Brother Tim was reading some scripture and saying some things this morning. And so I want to try my best to be mindful of the Lord in thinking about this place in Exodus chapter number 33. If you have your Bibles this morning, Exodus chapter number 33. I just sat there during the Sunday school hour and read over some of these verses and just tried to read and pause. And I'm no expert and I ain't got it all figured out, but that's the best way. When you read your Bible, you ought not to read just to check it off and say, I've read a chapter or two today. But you ought to try to, and I know it ain't always, sometimes you can't get a specific place to come to you to read. But if you can get one, you ought to try to get one. And then you ought to read and pause. See if the Lord has anything to say to you from His Word today. And so I hope that He will speak to our hearts today and help us from the reading, preaching of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 33, you found your place. If you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading the Word of God. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, read a few verses and then skip till later in the chapter just to help set the context for what we're reading this morning. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. The Lord said unto Moses, Depart, go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee. I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Then look at verse number 12. Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in Exodus chapter 33. We began reading in verse number 1. And the Lord comes to Moses and says, Go on. Go to that land I've promised you that you could have. But he said there's a difference now than there was a day or two ago. He said, you can go. I promise you, you could have it. But he said, I'm not going with you. He said, I'll send an angel before thee. That'll be good enough. The reason for all of this happening in the people of Israel's life and in the mind of God is because of chapter 32, where Moses is gone to receive the commandments, and while he's there on the mountain, the people build a calf and begin to worship it. Moses comes back down and is angry, breaks the tables of stone, grinds the calf into powder, makes the people drink it. And the Bible said the people knew that they had sinned before the Lord. They wondered, he'd been gone for days. They said, what's happened to this man by the name of Moses? God's killed him. He's forsook us. And so they besought Aaron, and Aaron sinned and asked for all the jewelry and began, we all know the story, to make that golden calf, and they danced around it and they worshiped it. Moses and Joshua are on the mountain. Joshua said, I hear the sound of war. Moses said, it's not the sound of war, but it's the sound of rejoicing in the camp. So they come back down and find the situation. Now, because God said that they are a stiff-necked and a hard-hearted and a rebellious people, he said, I promised you the land, I'll give it to you, but I'm not going with you. Moses, this great man of God, you can find fault in Moses as you can in everybody else in the Word of God. But there is no denying, if we had nothing else on record to go on and all we had was Exodus chapter 33, it would be enough proof to tell me that Moses was a man of God. And he said, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. You promised the land. We've heard about the land. It's a good land. It's a large land. It flows with milk and honey. You told us the enemy would be gone. You told us we could have it to the uttermost part. It's a wonderful land. It's where we're going to go. But if you're not going, we're not going. It's not worth it without you. Would to God in this day, from the pulpit to the back pew, that we as a people of God would understand that if God's not going, we ought not to go. If he don't make a move, we ought not make a move. There's a whole lot of people in these days that are in Baptist churches all across our land that are making moves that God's not in, and he's not moving with them. But I want to say, whatever God's plan, and I want to reassure you this morning in case you have doubt, God has a plan for Gospel Way Baptist His church. He's assured us in days gone by that he has a plan, but wherever he wants us to go, however he wants us to get there, if he don't want us to go, and if he ain't going, I ain't going. And you ought to have the same resolve inside of you that if God ain't going, you ain't going either. Keep us from a lot of trouble in our lives today if we'd stop and consider that if God doesn't sanction going, then ought we to go? I'm interested this morning, if God will help me as Moses prays. He said, Lord, you said we could go. You told me to lead them on, but he said, without you, I don't know how to lead them. I don't know where to take them. God had already said, I'll send an angel with thee. Moses could know the way, but Moses said, without you, I can't do what you've asked of me to do. And I'm telling you this morning, I can't do what's been asked of me, and neither can you, except the Lord go with us. And so he said, oh Lord, he said, don't just tell me you're going, but make me know for sure that you're going with me. That you're going with us. Matter of fact, he said here in verse number 15, he gets real personal. Now he's concerned about everybody else. He is concerned. He is the man of God. He is the leader for this time and this hour. And his heart is with the people. But he said, if you're not going with me, ain't the one of us going. He said, I just want to know that you're going with us. And the Lord begins to speak, and I just want to look at these verses this morning. The Lord begins to speak, and there's some things in this I never had saw before. The Lord began to work in my heart sitting right there before the preaching air this morning. And He promised Moses here in verse number 21. So I want to take my text this morning. The Bible said, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I want to preach this morning, if God had helped me for just a minute, on the greatest place on earth. I thought, and I couldn't get it to come to my head. I asked Brother Tim while we were sitting up here before we started singing. I think something in me said that maybe it was the slogan for Disney World at one part of their advertising and their career that they boasted to be the greatest place on earth. I've saw many commercials about, these foreign destinations, about the Bahamas and all these tropical paradises they call themselves. And they'll say, come and experience the greatest place on earth. But what I'm preaching about this morning is not some tropical paradise. It's not an amusement park with fun and games. But I rest assured this morning in confidence to tell you that the place by God is the greatest place that there is on this earth. You say, you really believe that? I don't just believe it, I know it to be so. I'll be ashamed to admit, but I'll admit and be honest. And if you'd be honest, you'd have to admit it too. I've not spent as many days in that place as I want to spend, but I've spent enough days to know that it is the greatest place on earth. It's because of what can be found there. And it's all in this chapter. Whether we understand it or not, whether Moses realized all that God was saying or not, it's here in the chapter. Everything that can be found, if you find your place in that place by Him. There is that place. It's already been mentioned this morning several times. The writer of the song said, there is a place near to me, a dear to me, near to the heart of God. He was talking about, or she, whoever wrote it, was talking about this place that God told Moses there was a place by Him. You can find in that place what you cannot find anywhere else. Disney World don't offer what's found in that place. Pigeon Forge don't offer what's found in that place. The beach don't offer anywhere you want to go. The big boats out on the oceans don't offer what can be found in this place by Him. Oh, we can say they do, but they don't. Oh, some of these things we... And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a vacation. Everybody needs them every now and again. But they ought to have their place in the priority list. They ought to be way, way down below the things of God. Now I understand, old preacher said, if you don't take time apart, you'll come apart. I understand that there's a time that we need to go apart, a time to rest. Jesus told His disciples to come apart, alone into a desert place. I understand all of that. But really, if you'd be honest, you go on vacation, you say, I'm going to rest, and you have to come back and rest because you didn't rest there. These tropical places boast to come and relax and unwind. But really it don't happen. But I want to say in that place, and I got four things I want to give you this morning out of these verses and I'll be done. There's four things I find in that place by Him. And that is that, number one, that it is a place of rest. He said right here in the verse 14, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. See, Moses was weary. Moses needed some rest. Moses had been carrying the load of all the people on his shoulders. Moses had been in a bad place. Moses had been in bad shape. He had let his flesh get so hot that he threw down the very things that God gave to him and broke them because of his anger. He still loved the people, but he was angry toward them for what they had did. And now Moses needs some rest. And so do the people. They have realized where they are. They have realized what they've done. many people in our day, and I want to say something right here that I believe with all my heart's the truth. You can disagree with me if you want to, but I believe there are some truly genuine saved people that are doing things today that they don't fully understand what they're doing. And until God opens their eyes, we can beat them over the head all we want to. We can get angry with them if we want to. But it was not until God revealed that His presence wasn't going. The Bible said in verse 4, when the people heard these evil things, they mourned. And so there needs to be some rest. As important as it is for your physical man to get rest, because you cannot function without it. You can go for a time, you can go for a space, but without it, and it will begin to change who you are if you don't have rest. You'll begin to be short, you'll begin to be ill, you'll begin to let things bother you that didn't used to bother you. I mean, here we have been, and I know I can't say much. I got more rest than she did. But we was in the hospital. We thought we was going to get to go home on Thursday. They come in and check the baby's blood levels, and one of her tests come back elevated. And they come back in and said, you're going to have to stay another night. And I thought the world was falling apart. You can't rest there. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't rest in the world. You can try it if you want to, but it will not work.
That's right.
Too many distractions. You know why we couldn't rest in the hospital? Wasn't because we didn't have a bed. We had a bed furnished. Wasn't because we couldn't turn the lights out. You could turn the lights out. You could control the thermostat. You could do all the things you wanted to do. But there were so many distractions. Every time you'd get comfortable and think it was time to rest, somebody would come in and have to do something. That's exactly how it is with the spiritual man in this world. Every time you get comfortable and think you can rest, there's a distraction from the world. But if you can get in this place, there are no distractions here. There is no one else here but you and God. I need to say that again. If you can get to this place, everybody else disappears. There is nobody else. It matters not if there's a million of the children of God under His wing and on His bosom. If you're there, it's you and God and nobody else. Everybody else disappears. Many of you here this morning, I know, are worrying and wondering about things that in reality, I understand, please don't take me wrong. I know we can pray, and prayer is the greatest weapon we have, and we ought to pray, but we're going to have to trust God, because many of you are here this morning and you're worried and wringing your hands and wondering about situations you cannot fix, you have no control over, you wish you could go get the person and shake them until they wake up, but you can't do it. But I tell you what you can do, you can get in this place, near to the heart of God, and quit worrying yourself and biting your fingers to the bone, and just let it be you and Him, and get the rest you need from Him. There's a place of rest by Him. Then I want to say it's a place of reassurance when you get by Him. Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, in verse 15, carry us not up hence. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? He said, and how else can it be shown, not just to the world, but to us, that all your people, they're laying out there on their face, weeping and moaning and mourning for what they've done, and rightfully so. But He said, we need some reassurance.
Yes, that's right.
He said, the only way we can get it is it's that you go with us. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people, and I understand there's some that are probably not saved. I want to say there is some that probably are saved. You spend all your days like a a boat in a storm. You're driven here and there, up and down, round and round. And about once a month or once every other month, you have to try to make sure everything's all right between you and God. And everybody that's been saved has experienced that for some time in their life. But I'm going to tell you what, if you ever get in the place by Him, it's a place of reassurance. You won't worry about whether you're in or not. You'll know you're in. You won't worry about what everybody else is doing. You won't care. It'll just be you and God. It's a place where He can reassure you you're saved. It's a place where He can reassure you He cares. It's a place where He can reassure you everything's going to be all right. It's a place where He can assure you that He is God. That's what Moses was saying to these people down there bowed on their face. Moses said, Lord, they've come a long way and they've been through a lot and they're about to kick out. He said, if we've ever needed anything, we need you to go with us and reassure us that you are who you say you are. I'm going to tell you in 2020, when everything is reeling and rocking, and there's trouble on every hand, and many of the people of God can't get established and they can't get settled because they've never experienced this place, we ought to run like we've never run in our lives and say, oh Lord, open up your wing and let us get way back up under there where no matter what goes on around us, no matter what's happening, we're sure and secure and reassured in that place. So it's a place of reassurance. And I want to say it's a place of relationship. The Lord said, there is. That would have been good. Still would have been good. Moses is praying. You go with us, you go with us. The Lord said, my presence will go. And the verse would have still been good if the Lord had just said, Moses, there's a place. You can still preach on the greatest place on earth, that place from God. But He didn't stop there. See, what makes it a place of relationship is the Lord said, there's a place by me. Moses, quit standing over yonder trying to carry it on your own. You can't bear the weight of all these people. You're going to fall out. You're going to quit. You're going to turn aside. He said, get over here and stand by me. By Him. A place at His side. A place hand in hand. We walk each day. A place where He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. It's that place of relationship. It's that place of oneness. It's that place, just like Philippians chapter 3 was talking about knowing Him, where you're so close and you're so interwoven that there ain't nobody or nothing can come between Him and you. You say, you really believe that? So I believe it so. Jesus said, all the Father giveth to me are in my hand, and no man's able to put them out. And He said, not only that, they're in my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. And so if you can ever get in that place, I understand when we're saved, we are in that place. But if you can ever really realize about where you are and the oneness that's in Christ, about knowing Him, it would make a difference in you. That place of relationship. That place where He occupies all the empty space in your life. And there ain't room for nobody or nothing else but Him. Now, I'm not talking about leaving your spouse or forsaking your family or anything like that. But I'm talking about all the void, empty space that everybody occupies and their hobbies and their pastimes and their recreation. If you could ever get in that place where it's just all Him and nothing else, you'll know what it is to have a relationship. Kind of like them marriage vows. We're living in a day, and I'm not knocking nobody or nothing, don't get me wrong. But we're living in a day where we've changed them and modernized them and made them feel real warm and fuzzy. And I'm not saying necessarily that there's anything wrong with that, but some of them lose the reality of what it is them, that husband, that wife are promising to each other. The Bible said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Which means they are inseparable in the eyes of God. And so if he's our husband and we're his wife and we have left everything, that's a problem with many people. They ain't left everything. And part of them old vows, I don't hear it too much anymore, but in them old vows, they'd have that groom and that bride say, "Forsaking all others, cleave only to him or her." That's what Moses is being told here. Just don't worry about everybody else. Just separate from everybody else. Forsake everything else and cleave to me. And let's have that relationship that the world knows nothing about. The world can say they know about it. And the world proposes a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you, they have no idea about love until they've experienced the love of God. And so it's a place of relationship. And then I'm done this morning. He said in verse number 22, "And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand." I want to say that place by him is a place of refuge. One writer said it like this, and I ain't no singer and I ain't going to sing. And I don't know who wrote it, man or woman, I don't know. But they sure knew what they was talking about. They said, "The storms of life may round me roll. This earth may shake from pole to pole. But none of this shall daunt my faith. The Savior is my hiding place. Yes, I have found a hiding place. A blessed, blessed hiding place. 'Tis Jesus who bestows His grace. The Savior is my hiding place." You say, is it really that important? Well, let's see what else they had to say. "My life is both complete and whole when He's united with my soul." There's that relationship. "A comfort in life's weary race. The Savior is my hiding place." I'm going to tell you, it is a refuge. See, what the Lord was saying is, Moses, there's a place. And there's a place over here in this rock way back up in yonder. And he said, "I'm going to put you back in that rock. And I know you got all these burdens and you got all this trouble and you got all this care. But he said, I'm going to put you back in there and I'm going to put my hand over the rock." He said, "So all you can see is my hand." I wonder how long it's been in all the turmoil and all the trouble and all the strife when the last time was that all you could see was his hand. Oh, things didn't look good, but oh, you could see his hand at work in it all. There's refuge in his hand. You wouldn't believe, I sat there during the Sunday school hour and began to read and just run some references, and I want to read some verses and then I'm done this morning, far as I know. There's refuge in his hand. In Deuteronomy 33 and 27, the Bible said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath you are the everlasting arms." I thought about his hand, that the Bible said they measured the span of the heavens with the span of his hand. That in the hollow of his hand he could hold all the waters of the world. And yet that same hand can cover you and be a refuge. That arm that The Bible said he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt by a strong and a stretched out arm. And that same arm that rained fire from heaven, that same arm that sent the plagues, that same arm that took the firstborn, that same arm that parted the Red Sea is the same arm that can bear you up and hold you in your time of trouble. There's a refuge in his arm. And I want to say in Psalms chapter 31 and verse number 20, the Bible said, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." I want to say just his presence alone is a refuge from the storm. Just to be where he's at. Oh, we come in this place and we shut the door, and by sense, by and large, we are shut out. But when he manifests himself, that's when it becomes a sanctuary, a refuge from the storm. I want to read this verse and I'm done. You say, how often can I get where you're talking about? Psalm 71 and verse 3 said, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort." I'm glad you can run to him today. You can run to him tomorrow. You can run to him the next day and the next day and the next day. There's no limit on how long you can spend in this place. By the way, I want to say, as was mentioned somewhat in the Sunday school hour this morning, being in this place does not mean you're in a place of perfection. Doesn't mean that you are free from sin or that you won't mess up. Because Moses found himself in this place. And just a few short years later in Numbers chapter 20, Moses sins in not doing what God said for him to do. And yet he had experienced this place. And so, as it's been said, and I want to say again, this place is not for a select few. This place is not for someone who somehow or another has obtained special favor of God beyond anyone else. It's not a place that God stands and looks at you and says whether or not you qualify. But it's a place that every one of us, if you're saved, regardless of who you are, where you are, what you've been, what you've done, what you've not done, how close or not how close, this is a place you can be in. There is a place by him. And that's the greatest place on earth. As we stand this morning all over the house, would you like to get in that place? Is that the place that you long to be? Is that something that appeals to you and allures you to be in that place? Do you need that place this morning? Do you need some rest? Do you need some reassurance? Do you need that relationship restored? There is varying degrees of that relationship. That's why I said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Be as close to him as you want to be. Do you need that refuge, that hiding place, that place to run to and be shut out from everything and everybody else? You can have it this morning. Some are coming. Others probably need to. That's between you and God. But I'm glad there is a place by him.